Right, good morning, everybody. Hey, it's really, really good to be here. Just going to move the lectern a bit, make some space. And what a great, isn't that great to worship? Hey, really good. And thank you to the band and everybody for what you've been doing this morning. It's been great. So Claire started us off on the book of Joshua and did a great job with that. Hang about, I've got one of them things in my pocket. Give me a minute. There we go. Okay, fantastic. Let's just see if it's alive. Yeah, there we go. It is God's people on the move. So I've got Joshua chapter 1 to speak about this morning. And before we sort of get into the chapter, let's make sure we know this is the beginning of the story. And Claire set the scene for us last time. We just want to get to the beginning of this account. And what I do want to say is the book of Joshua, though it's named Joshua, it's not about Joshua. The book of Joshua is about God fulfilling his promises to his people while Joshua's in charge. Yeah? That's what it's about here. And so we sort of join the story. Here we go. You know, come on. There we go. So we join the story at a certain point. What do you think that big blue bit is to the left? Yeah, which one? Yeah, it's the Med. Oh, look out. What do you think that blue bit above me is? Dead Sea, correct? And therefore, what's that wiggly line going above it? You see, you don't need to be able to read the labels, do you? Okay, that's great. Yeah, that's the Jordan. So we join the people of God, camp there where the red mark is, where the arrow is, just to the east side of the Jordan. They're ready, they're waiting. They're on the threshold of claiming an inheritance that God has spoken many, many years ago. The Jordan is in full flood. They're waiting there to cross over. They're poised to inherit the promises of God. Where have they come from? Well, if we go back in time, Claire's gone through this already. They started off in Egypt. They started off prisoners, slaves, trapped. But God set them free. God set them free. They were liberated from Egypt, from under the power of Pharaoh, and they escaped. They went through the parting of the Red Sea. The Red Sea's closed behind them and cut them off from that past life. And they embarked upon an adventure and a journey to see the fulfillment of the promises of God. Things didn't go according to plan for them. They made a few poor decisions. Essentially, they didn't really trust that God would see them through. Hello. Okay. They didn't really trust that God would see them through, and it stalled them. They went round in circles. And it's during their time in the desert that Moses sent a bunch of guys out to spy out the land that lay ahead of them. They came back and said, a couple of them said, we can do this. We can do this. But most of them said, we can't do this. We can't do this. And through unbelief, it stalled the journey of the people of God. And they circled for some time in the wilderness, not fully inheriting the promise of God for their liberation and their freedom. Until they come to this point, just to the east of the Jordan. And Moses is dead. And Joshua has been put in charge. Let's read the scripture. I'm going to read from the NIV. And I'm going to jump along a few bits. So I'm starting with chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. Jump to verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving for your own. I'm going to jump to verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will fully obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Fantastic. When I heard I was being given, this has been a bit of a hallmark, this scripture, Joshua 1 verse 9, for us in our lives and our the difficult decisions that we may have had to make. This is still troubling me, I'm sorry. Is it me? What is it? What's going on? There we go. Thanks, Rich. So it's been important scripture. I'm excited to be able to speak on this. And I fancied getting a couple of interesting anecdotes about that, so about courage and fearlessness. So I organized a trip with a few guys to go and climb up, where is it now? Up this thing here. That's called Sharp Edge. Oh, the light's a bit funny there. So a ridgeline, a grade one scramble. And I thought if I take a bunch of guys with me, I'm sure there'll be some great stories of courage and heroics. I took this crowd with me. You might recognize a few faces in there. But unfortunately, well, you know, in truth, I wasn't really after courageous stories. I was after maybe something to contrast with that. Because everybody know that sort of comedy trumps courage when it comes to illustrations. But these guys did a great job. I'll tell you what, who was disappointing, though. Okay, there was a couple more on our trip. A couple of dogs. Don't say, oh, they're only dogs. The one on the left there merely did a great job. The one on the right, I'm ashamed to say. Let's see if this thing's working. There you go. That little terrier, that's mine. All right? Peter Kay has a phrase. He says, you can't respect a man who carries a dog. All right, that's what he says. So anyway, we take these dogs up and we're all having a good time. But my, this is called Finn. And the wretched dog, whenever you got to a difficult bit on the ridge, he would look at me, he'd look at the cliff, and he'd just turn around and go back the other way. And then you'd call him along and he'd look at me and he'd think, you're going to grab me. And he'd go back again. And then I'm sort of trying to get along this ridgeline and say, sorry, sorry, get past everybody. And the dog, and like, he could do it. He could do it. And if he couldn't do it, I'd just pick him up and... In the end, I'm scrambling with a terrier under my arm, and I am that man that you can't respect with a fashion accessory on a mountain. Do you know what, though? And the illustrations are obvious. I feel there's a really simple message from this scripture. The people of God would not inherit the promises of God unless they were prepared to make bold and courageous decisions. Yeah, and they were going to do those with their dog. Let's just take it to today. I know that me as an individual and us as a church will not inherit the promises of God in this life fully unless we're prepared to take bold and courageous steps. If we live in fear, we'll be like the dog backing off the whole time. Yeah, and do you know what? I think I'm the dog. My fear is that I'm the dog, and it's time to change. Okay. Well, how did they do this? Because they had huge... I'm going to get rid of those pictures of the dogs. You know, I don't know what comes next. I'm going to go back to that. Okay. I'm distracted by them. So, to cross the Jordan for the people of God was a big deal. It's not like they hadn't made progress. They'd already inherited. They had the land promised to three of the tribes already, you know, but they didn't have the land for the other three quarters. They could have found a way of making it work where they were, but they wanted to cross over and follow God's plan. It wasn't an easy plan. Jordan was huge. Somebody else will talk about this in a couple of weeks' time. Crossing the Jordan was a big deal, high risk. You know, for me, I think risk Do you know what? We know one of my greatest fears is amateur dramatics, right? I'm not going and watching it. If you're taking part in it, I don't mind talking like this. You give me a script, right? I'm sweating, right? Really scared of that kind of thing. Well, that's it. That's about the scope of fear in modern day living. These guys' lives were at risk. Their children were at risk. The line of their generation were at risk. They had to cross the Jordan. They had to go in battle and fight and risk their young men to death. These are big, high stakes when they could have settled, but they didn't. And I want to talk about three communications that stopped them from settling, that enabled them. See, Nelson Mandela said these words, right? These words. Let me turn because I can't read that far. He said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but who conquers fear." Now, that's true for the people of God. They conquered fear. They could have settled, and they chose to step out. And there's three types of communication that occurred in this scripture that I'd like us to think about. One, God speaks to Joshua. Then Joshua speaks to the people, and the people speak back to Joshua. And in doing so, they overcome fear and are able to act boldly and courageously and see inheritance of God's promises. So first of all, God speaks to Joshua. He hears the call from God to go and take the land and inherit the blessing. "Be bold," says God, "I'm with you." Was that a brand new message for him? No. They'd heard it all before. Generations and generations and generations before, God spoke to Abraham and said, "I will make you a nation, and you will be blessed and be a blessing to the nation." This was a new statement, even the encouragement to be bold and courageous. It wasn't new, but God renewed it. God said it again in a new way. He spoke to his people. They might have heard it many times, but Joshua needed to hear it. "You need to go. You're going to inherit the land. I will be with you. There's promises for you in this life. You can get a hold of them. You've got to be bold and courageous, and I'm with you." Joshua had heard that before, but he needed to hear from God again. Secondly, we see Joshua speaks to the people. So he speaks faith. He speaks, dare I say it, motivation. He speaks to them, "Get up, get on. Get your things together. Inherit the land that God is going to be giving to you." Not sit back and let God do it for you. Not sort it out by yourself, but hand in hand. Get ready, because we are going to go and across the Jordan, we're going to inherit the land that God is giving to us. And the book of Joshua is a great combination of God's power, God's fulfillment, and strategy working alongside that. Godly strategy to get the job done. Fantastic. He needed to speak that to the people around him. And the third dialogue that we see is the people speak back. They say, "Joshua, let's do it. Let's do it." They say, they encourage him to be bold and courageous. He says, "Yeah, let's do it, but be bold and be courageous." They fold his words back to him and encourage him to be bold and courageous. That's the way to speak to leaders. That's the way to speak to people in our lives. You know, there's this funny illustration about geese. And you see it in posters and things. And one of the things about geese is, you know, they honk and they fly in like the triangle shape, the V shape. And the one at the front has to work hardest because he's not getting a draft off all the others. The one at the front works hardest. And all the others that are honking, the one at the front saying, "Go on, go on, go on, keep the pace up." They're honking him on, or her on. I really don't know how it works in goose society. But I would want to be politically correct even in the Avon world. So, this is the point, though. They're speaking encouragement back to Joshua. And this is their cry. Accountability. If any of us backs down, put us to death. I mean, we believe in accountability, but my word. But I love it because they know what they're like. You know what they're predisposed to? Going round in circles. 75% of them, and 75% of the time, they'll look at the promised land and think, "We can't do it." They know what they're like. But they're hearing a call from God and saying, "We want to do this. Hold me to account. Hold us to account that we can go through with what we're committing to now." I love that. I love that. And it's from this platform of hearing God, nothing brand spanking new, but renewed hearing of what God is calling them to, speaking faith, vision, and motivation to one another. speaking motivation to those who are leading them and calling for accountability. For that platform enabled them to cross the Jordan, to bring down Jericho, capture the land, establish a nation, and see that fulfillment of that promise from God in their world. Absolutely fantastic. That is Joshua chapter 1. You know what, the rest of this I'm going to indulge in, and I want to give over to just applying this to where we are now. Because many of us have been on a very similar journey. Most of us here have been on a similar journey. We remember the day when we were slaves. And for some of us, that's a long, long time ago. We remember the day when we were slaves to sin, distant from God's promises. We were trapped and enslaved by the world, and then God set us free. I came to Christ when I was 22. Something like that, give or take a year. I came to Christ. I was a slave before that. He set me free. You remember the day you came to Christ? Do you? What a day. What a great day. Do you know it can be a distant memory, but it needs to be a present reality. The day I came to Christ. Many of us have come, most of us here have come from slavery. Many of us have gone through the waters of baptism, and like the sea has closed behind us, cut off from that, from the past, setting off a new journey. And each of us who have been through that process recognize that there's an inheritance when we go to be with him of eternity. For us, death has lost its sting. What a privilege. And also for each of us, there are promises of God for this life that are there for us to inherit, to rest and take hold of. But you know what? I think that many of us, if you're like me, have been held back and haven't fully inherited the promises of God in this life, and haven't done the journey. And maybe you've looked at the promises and the promised land and said, I'm not sure we can do it. You've ended up going around in circles. I know in different areas of my life, I have. And I know that it's fear and timidity that has held me back. What are you scared of? Scared of spiders? How many people are scared of spiders? I was tempted to bring a spider to throw into the audience today. When I was about 17, I thought it was cool to climb with no shirt on. All right, there is no reason why that's cool, but at 17, you think so. And I wriggled up into this is another Richard Cave thing. And I climbed up into this thing. I was stuck in a cave, right? No shirt on. Hadn't planned to go that way. I was stuck in it, right? And I looked up and I thought, oh, what's that? Oh, it's a woodlouse. There's another one. It's another one. And this whole army of woodlice came down, right? On my head, on my shoulders. They were crawling all over me. I couldn't do anything about it. And ever since then, I've always felt a little bit suspicious of woodlice. Do you know what I mean? I'm not scared of them, but I don't trust them. Do you know? Because where there's one, there's an army. Thankfully, you know, I don't think that's really held me back professionally or, socially. I think I've done fine. What I do know is that other things have held me back. I know that fear of maybe an insecure future, or inverted commas, insecure future, fear of what people think of me. Failure, fear of failure, reputation. Those are things that I know, held me back. Not least in the number one thing that I feel God has called me to do while on this earth. And that is to fulfill the Great Commission. Fulfill the Great Commission by myself. fulfill my part in that Great Commission. Let's just have a think about where we are. As Life Church, we believe God has called us to the Great Commission, not in a new way, but in a renewed way. How long's that been around? A couple of thousand years. One of the first scriptures we would have heard of, the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you to the end of the age. Yes, we know it, but do we live it? Am I living it? I know that fear has held me back from that. I need to hear that, and I believe I'm hearing that from God. I believe that we as a church are hearing that from God, a call to take the gospel, the best news. It's a great commission, it's a great message, to take the gospel out to our friends and our family and our neighbors and the strangers around us. Why do we need to take this gospel? Why do we need to share the gospel? We need to share it because it's the truth. It's not a theory. It's not our view of the world. It's not another way to God. It's not a concept. It's the truth. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, to set captives free, to destroy the work of the evil one. He died on a cross that people might live. It's true. We need to share the gospel because people need forgiving. I had 22 years to make mistakes. I made plenty of them. I needed forgiveness. I've had some more years to make probably more mistakes, and I still need his forgiveness. But you know what? I've got it because of the gospel. That is good news, and we need to share that. We need to share the gospel because it works. Because through the gospel, people get a fixed relationship with God. Wounds are healed, hearts are made whole. People are brought into family, are given a hope for today and for the future. Lives are turned around. We have a responsibility to share the gospel. I have a responsibility to share the good news and take the Great Commission. I'm glad we're hearing this in a renewed way because it's so important for us. Secondly, I need to speak faith. I need to speak motivation to those around me, and we need to do that. We need to be people who say, yes, you can do it. We can do it because the Lord is with us. We need to be those who will speak that to one another. We used to make this joke. I don't know if you remember this, Jack. We used to say, we're Smiths. We fear nothing but fear itself. No, never heard of it in his life. Maybe that was just me and the dog. Okay. We fear nothing but fear itself, and I have a bit of a joke about that. But the one thing we should fear is fear itself, the limiting factor in our lives, the opposite to faith. And that's what's going to hold us back. We need to speak that truth to one another. And we need to receive encouragement from one another, receive encouragement from those around us. We need to seek accountability because, like the Israelites, I know what I'm like. I will revert to type. I will revert to fearful. I'll be going around that desert for the rest of my natural years, given a chance. I need people around me who are going to say, you said that God said, so what have you done about it? Yeah, I need to, but that doesn't come from nowhere. I need to go to people and say, ask me that question. Hold me to account. I need to seek accountability because I'm responsible, because I'm a grown-up. Yeah, I've got to take, and if I don't, I can't blame anybody else. But in there, I see three great communications that will enable us to act boldly and with courage with our God to see the fulfillment of that Great Commission, as is our remit in this area and at this time. You know, we have a dream. We have a dream here at Life Church. And our dream, which you'll know about, is in the next 2 or 3 years that we'll see half the people here will have been born again, saved in the last few years. That is a big dream, isn't it? I don't know what that means to you, but just take a look around you. Look at whoever's perhaps the most important person to you. Think about who that might be. Maybe it's a loved one or a friend or somebody you've just got to know since you've been here. Imagine if they weren't here today because they didn't know the Lord and you couldn't pray for them and you couldn't pray with them. And you couldn't stand alongside them. And for them, death still had its sting. That would be an ugly place to be, wouldn't it? That would be a sad place to be. And I thank God we're not in that place because we're here. But look at these empty seats. Look at these empty seats. And in there belongs somebody who can say, Jesus is my Lord. Death has lost its sting. I have a hope for the future. I'm connected with God. And I'm going to inherit the promises of God myself. These seats belong to those people. You know who they are? They're my brothers. They're my sisters. They're my colleagues. They're the people I live next door to. They're the people in the street that I don't recognize even. They're out there. And I'm excited about God partnering with the Holy Spirit to see, don't know who, but people come into faith. Are you excited about that? That's the dream. That's the dream. But you know what? This scripture worries me. It says this. The scripture, there's, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If I want to reap souls, I've got to sow. And I recognize that historically I have been sowing too small, too infrequently with the gospel. If I was to say to you, come and have a look at the garden. I've done a bit of gardening recently. That's why I feel like I'm bringing this illustration. Got a different kind of topic. So if I say, I want to grow raspberries in half of my garden, come and see where I'm up to so far. And you came to the garden and I got a small pot of coriander and said, what do you think? What do you think? You'd say, you're a fool. Because you're sowing the wrong thing and you're sowing too sparingly. And I'd look at it and think, I think you've got a point. If I'm honest, when I look at my life, I'm sowing the wrong thing and sowing too sparingly. And I will reap what I sow because God doesn't let you take the mick. Don't kid yourself. Yeah, that's what the Bible says to me. If I sow coriander, what am I going to reap? If I sow peas, what am I going to reap? Come on, you know the answers. If I sow carrots, what am I going to reap? Yeah, I think I might pull carrots. But anyway, if I sow the gospel, if we sow the gospel widely, we will reap salvation. Because it's what you sow is what you reap. It's the law that God has put in place. That doesn't mean, you know, as much as I'd like it to be, if I could pick a person and say them and sow the gospel and know that that person would be, wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't quite work that way. But I do know that when I sow, I will reap. When we sow, we will reap. And if we want to see these chairs filled with people who don't yet know the gospel, who still have the sting of death, if we want to see them filled with people who don't have that, we need to sow significantly differently. We will need to give our hearts, our lives, our thinking, our resource, our energy, our prayers to that. Let's keep moving with these pages. If we're going to engage with the Great Commission as we've been called to, if we're going to see the fulfillment of God's promises for new birth, it's going to take courage and boldness stepping out. It did for the people of Israel, and it will do with us today. What's your limiting factor? Is it your reputation? What stops us sharing the gospel like we should? Are you worried about being laughed at? Is it loss of comfort, loss of friends? Listen to what he said. It's about looking at them. Here we go. Nelson Mandela. We're always going to be fearful, but it's about looking fear in the eye, naming it, pushing on regardless. How did Joshua get to be so bold? He knew God was with him. He saw the plagues. Surely that was enough. He saw the Red Sea being parted. He saw the quail and the manna and the pillar of fire and the cloud. He even went with faith and saw the promised land. He had a name change, Joshua. He was called Hoshea, which means salvation. His name changed to the Lord saves. Here's a guy who's had a transformation from, yeah, salvation happens to, it's the Lord who saves. But he still needed to hear it. He needed to hear it on that day from God and from those around him. Guys, we need to hear it from God. He is with us. We need to hear it today from him and from one another, or we're going to be stuck in fear. I'm going to be stuck in fear. If we're going to be bold, if we're going to be courageous, we need to hear that. And believe me, Jesus said, I will be with you. Even to the end of the age, we need to hear it. We need to speak it. For many of us, for me, I know that I've spent too long in the desert. I'm not telling you that I've not shared the gospel with anybody. I'm not trying to over-dramatize this or say I've not done any evangelism. But I do know that I have been sowing sparingly and I need to sow plentifully. There needs to be not a modest change. There needs to be a significant change. And I think I see myself pretty much as a regular Joe here. And if it's true for me, I believe it's true for us. And therefore, we need to do something differently. Some scriptures have really arrested my heart, the reaping and sowing one. And that's why I wanted to share that with you. But also, you know, there's different ways of sharing the gospel. And there's that thing where there's like the four-part gospel. There's the heart, where you tell people God loves you. There's the cross. You've messed up. Sorry, that kind of cross. There's the crucifix. Jesus died for you. And there's the question mark. You've got a decision to make. The simple elements of the gospel. I think we're pretty reasonable at saying God loves you. We're pretty good at sowing. How good are we at reaping, at looking people in the eye not everybody, not all the time, but the right people and saying, my friend, you've got a decision to make. And look at people in the eye and say, actually, Jesus died for you. You have messed up. You've got a decision to make. Are we good at sowing or plowing and not so good at reaping? I think possibly, I'm confident we are. I'm confident that we're good at plowing. We need to sow. How will they believe if they don't hear? And how will they hear if nobody tells them? And how will anybody tell them they're not sent? We need to send one another. Jesus said this, John 4, when he saw a whole crowd of people coming to hear him and understand who he was, he said, do you not say, it's about harvest, do you not say 4 more months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. I think about that scripture because I'm tempted to say, no, I just need to spend a bit more time sowing. I need to spend a bit more time sowing, just sharing the gospel, being a good neighbor. Yeah, well, I do. Obviously, I do. But Jesus says, don't wait 4 more months till the harvest. Look around you. The harvest is ripe. People are ready to come to faith. Either that's true or Jesus was wrong. That's the only conclusion I can come to from this. And it might not be the person I live next to at this moment, but there are people in our world who are ripe and are ready for harvest, are ready for that question. You've got a decision to make. Jesus died for you. People are ready for that. And we need to be ready to share that with them. Ladies and gents, I believe that just like the Israelites, there are promises in this life for us to inherit. And it requires boldness and it requires courage and for us to step out with our God. However, fear, timidity, discouragement could be a barrier. What are we going to commit to? What are we going to commit to? Nick, I'm going to hand over to you.